Hello. It is podcast time.
Let's go!
Well, hey now. I am Tommy. I am the host. And this is the Arch Independent Podcast, or AI Worldwide, maybe I should say. I checked the stats, and apparently there are folks tuning in from Europe, Asia, Mexico, even Australia. Throw another shrimp on the barbie, mate. Anyway, it seems that releasing a show every week does increase listenership, and since I don't really want that, I'm gonna do the show less now. I'm just kidding, kind of, but welcome back. It is episode something of the 2024 Arch Independent Podcast Series. Let's start today with the very interesting subject of the TikTok ban, or TikTok legislation, whatever you want to call it. There was activity at the United States of America's Congress this past week, specifically in the lower chamber. The House of Representatives debated and approved a bill that essentially bans the video sharing application TikTok. So, let's dive into this a little bit. You may have heard a lot about it, but not really the particulars. That's what we like to do here on the Arch Independent Show, the particulars. Starting with House Resolution 7521. That's particular. That's the actual legislation here in the 118th Congress of the United States. H.R. 7521 has the very interesting title of Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. You want to make an acronym out of that? It's PAFACAA. Well, let me tell you something about PAFACAA. This piece of legislation is now approved by the House. If you recall the I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill, that means it's got another chamber to go. They've got to throw it over to the Senate. They would need to approve it. Then it goes over to yonder White House for the president to sign off in order to become law. The final tally in the House was 352 yays, 65 nays, and one voting present. So, what did they actually vote on? They voted on a 12-page bill that had bipartisan support. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. You cannot get to 352 yay votes without having a combination of Democrat and Republicans. So, very much not a partisan issue here, this PAFACAA legislation. This is something that both parties contributed to from a sponsorship through drafting through this approval. So this is a joint effort. There's no distinction essentially between the parties here as far as wanting this legislation enacted. So let's see what everyone was so hot to trot about. Reading directly from H.R. 7521, which you can always find on house.gov website. I want to start with the header because that's what it starts with. Quote, to protect the national security of the United States from the threat posed by foreign adversary-controlled applications, such as TikTok and any successor application or service, and any other application or service developed or provided by ByteDance Limited or any entity under the control of ByteDance Limited. End quote, end header. So that's basically your summary. To protect the national security of these here United States, we gotta stop the TikTok because it's controlled by a foreign adversary. What is a foreign adversary? Great question. The 12-page bill includes definitions. Always the key to these things. It is in section 2, and it's a crosswalk foreign adversaries are defined over in the United States Code, that's USC, not to be confused with the Trojans of Southern California, it's the United States Code. We find the list of our current foreign adversaries in section 4872. That's right, to be official in these United States, when we declare somebody's real, real bad, you gotta throw it in Title 10 of the USC. Currently, we have four big enemies out there, people. They are the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea, the People's Republic of China, the Russian Federation, oh no, the Russians, and the Islamic Republic of Iran. So, bar trivia, if anyone asks who are our current foreign adversaries, North Korea, China, Russia, Iran. We'll be focusing on China today because that's where TikTok is hosted from. So, also within these definitions, we have foreign adversary controlled application. So, what does that actually mean? Well, I'm here to tell you, quote, the term foreign adversary controlled application means a website, desktop application, mobile application, or augmented or immersive technology application that is operated directly or indirectly, including through a parent company, subsidiary, or affiliate that is A, ByteDance Limited or TikTok, or B, a covered company that is controlled by a foreign adversary. Pause here. These definitions get a little long. Do you want to take a breath? Because there's a lot more. So how about if we summarize foreign adversary controlled application to mean social media platforms? That way we don't have to do website, desktop application, mobile application, augmented immersive technology, blah, 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 blah. So social media applications, that's part one of foreign adversary controlled application. Part two is it must be a social media platform that is one of two things, either A, ByteDance or TikTok. So they name those two entities. Outright ban on ByteDance Limited and TikTok, but it also includes a section B. So they're not just going to limit it to that box of what they know about. It could also apply to other social media platforms in the future that aren't TikTok or ByteDance if they meet these criteria. It's a social media platform controlled by a foreign adversary. Currently, we have our four. And is also determined by the president to be a significant threat to the national security of the United States. We're in this realm of national security. We have the foreign adversary list from Title 10 of the U.S. Code, and we name TikTok and ByteDance. Plus, they throw the blanket out there that anytime in the future, if the president at that time determines that there's a significant threat posed by some other social media application controlled by a foreign adversary, they can do this same kind of quash it down. That was a mouthful. We could probably summarize by saying that if you are a foreign adversary nation, per definition of Title 10 of the U.S. Code, and there's any social media platform emanating from your country, the United States can try to shut it down. Next up, what does shut it down really mean in this context? For that information, let's roll over to the enforcement section. Number one, civil penalties. They're coming for the money. Any entity that violates this bill would be subject to pay a penalty in an amount not to exceed multiplying $5,000 by the number of users within the United States borders determined to have accessed, maintained, or updated the social media application. Pause there. By entity, they don't mean TikTok. So the civil penalty does not apply to TikTok. The United States can't go to TikTok in China and try and yank $5,000 per user out of them. What they're talking about as an entity is any platform, internet service provider, cell carrier, anyone who allows you to access the foreign adversary controlled application, they're the ones who pay. The Apples, the Googles, $5,000 per user of the social media platform. That's going to be a hefty fine. They're not trying to throw anyone in jail. I don't want anyone to have a misconception about this. It is a civil penalty. That's the trap That's the quash of the enforcement. It's not you go to jail. It's we snap you off for a couple of billion dollars in a civil penalty. The final section of our 12-page bill is Section 3, Judicial Review. And what the legislation does in this section, it essentially quarantines any legal challenges, or it attempts to. First, the bill sets an exclusive jurisdiction. Any challenge to a civil penalty resulting from this bill shall be heard in the District of Columbia Circuit. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And the statute of limitations, this is done in two tiers. So first off, for TikTok, they get 165 days after the date of enactment of the act, once again, assuming it clears the Senate and Biden signs it. And then number two, for any of those potential future social media platforms from adversarial nations that the president defines as threats, those folks would only be allowed 90 days after an action to file their claim, which must be in the District of Columbia Circuit. Oh, those are the particulars. Let's take a break and then come back and editorialize a bit on that. Let me open the commentary with a quick look at those 352 yay votes, 65 nay votes, and one present vote. So the coward who voted present was Crockett, the Democrat from Texas. Everyone else at least had the stones to go on roll. The nays, the 65 of them, my goodness, what an interesting coalition this is. Included within those 65 votes were both the Freedom Caucus and the Squad. How incredible is that, right? So Matt Gaetz, Beavis and Butthead, all of those Marjorie Taylor Greene folks, they voted the exact same way as Angela Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, and the Squad. I just thought that was worthwhile to note. I feel like they had entirely different motives. The Squad probably enjoys the clout that they have on TikTok. There aren't many members of Congress that have over a million followers, and the Squad generally does. Over on the other side of the aisle, the Freedom Caucus folks, of course, they see this as an encroachment on First Amendment rights, and or they view it as step one towards some sinister takeover of all social media. And I really don't blame either of them for voting in their interests. I guess they're supposed to be representatives of people, but that's not generally how the system works, as you well know. Next up, I wanted to comment on Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, of course, had an opinion on this. And let me pause real quick to do a disclaimer to make sure I don't bias the program in any way here on the Arch Independent. Make no secret that I am an independent. I have donated to both the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Cornell West campaigns because they are attempting to run as independents. I don't necessarily know that I'll end up voting for either man, but I strongly believe in their right to access the ballot, so I make financial and in-kind contributions to both of those campaigns. So that is my disclaimer. Back to Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s comment. He said on his social, quote, "The so-called TikTok ban is actually a Trojan horse that could allow the president to ban any website or app merely by asserting that it is controlled or guided by a foreign adversary." End quote. And that's not exactly true as we just heard in the particulars. As written in the bill, the foreign adversary must be defined in Title 10 of the U.S. Code. But I do appreciate Bobby's point that a lot of times legislation that's written like this can be a Trojan horse in the sense that it's presented as one thing, but it's really meant to be another. For H.R. 7521, as written, as approved by the House, we see that there are some throttles. It's got to be a foreign adversary, and the president has to declare it a national security threat. So there's probably the more slippery of the two slopes, is it's not so much as the foreign adversary. You've got some Title 10 protections there, but when whoever the POTUS is, be it the corrupt dementia patient or the obnoxious game show host, giving them a magic wand to just say, this social media application is a national security threat, that's probably a bridge too far legally. I mean, I guess if you want to get super dystopian about it, in the bill, the definition of controlled by a foreign adversary is a little bit loose. So it covers a person with a blog or something like that, an individual who's domiciled or lives in this foreign adversarial country that could potentially be deemed a national security threat and shut down. It could mean the corporation, the TikTok, if you will, that is based in the foreign adversary country and they host the platform like the TikTok. Or it could even mean the foreign adversary government itself. If they're hosting a website full of propaganda, as it were, then that could be deemed a threat to national security. And lastly, there is element C of controlled by a foreign adversary. I'll read it, quote, a person subject to the direction or control of a foreign person or entity, end quote. I guess that's a little ambiguous. And on the floor, some of the Freedom Caucus people were saying that in this environment where we call everyone a Russian asset, would it be possible under this definition of controlled by turn out to mean the Biden administration accuses Elon Musk of being under the control of Putin? Elon Musk is Putin's puppet, and now he's a threat to national security. Therefore, Joe Biden can wipe Twitter off all of the U.S. platforms. I mean, it should be such a stretch that I don't even have to mention it, but these are crazy times, homies. Let me transition out of that commentary over to what I believe is the legal flaw in this bill. And to do that effectively, let me quickly cover the 1988 Berman Amendment. So maybe not a well-known item. It's not Chris Berman. It's not back. It's Howard Berman, a Democrat from California, who came up with a really creative piece of legislation in 1988. And what he did with his Berman Amendment is he amended the United States economic sanction laws, and he ended the president's authority to regulate or ban imports of publications or information materials. So if you want to go back in time, this is really the peak of the Reagan, Bush, scumbag era of international diplomacy. Don't want to spin the show into that ditch. I could talk for days about what incredible pieces of human fucking garbage those guys were. But Howard Berman was not that type of human garbage. And that's why he amended the sanction laws to end the authority to ban the import or export of publications, films, posters, phonographic records, photographs, microfilms, microfiche, remember this is 1988, tapes, or other information materials. And then there was a follow-up amendment to the Berman Amendment in 1994 to kind of modernize and expand. The ultimate throughput of the Berman Amendment, as it's commonly referred to, is the president maintains wide latitude to deploy economic sanctions, but what they can't do is attempt to limit the free flow of information. And that's not so much because the foreign entity has any rights. Though we're not in our congressional legal system recognizing China as an entity that has specific rights. We're saying that as a United States citizen, Howard Berman was protecting my right to consume information from any source, be it domestic or foreign. The President of the United States has no constitutional authority to tell me I can't consume information from a foreign country. Whether him and his cronies have put it in Title 10 as an adversarial nation or not, it doesn't fucking matter. You don't get to tell me where I can consume information from. And Howard Berman, thank you very much. I appreciate the amendment that you put into law to protect my rights. And I definitely needed it during the Reagan-Bush era. And now it hasn't gotten any better, has it? I certainly need it during the Joseph Biden administration. There ain't a motherfucker in history worse than these clowns as far as trying to clamp down on my First Amendment rights to consume information. These folks are straight out of the fucking Reich. And there ain't no spinning that one team good. But I don't really want to spin out into that ditch either. What I do want to do is take a look at some recent case law that features the Berman Amendment, because the jackass fucko game show host, he was out there trying to ban TikTok in 2020, and that went to court. I don't know how many people have a memory long enough to go back to, say, December 2020, but Donald J. Trump and his administration attempted to ban TikTok. And what do you think the court said? Fuck no, you can't do that because of the Berman Amendment. Pause real quick if we want to be super technical. The Berman Amendment is codified as the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, IEEPA. I'm just going to stick with Berman Amendment rather than try to push all of the U.S. code sections at you, but they're out there if you'd like. It's Title 50 USC 1701. Very interesting reading for those who are into such things. There's a companion legislation as well, the TWEA, another acronym, another title, another section. I think you get the point. But these are very strong protections, and in 2020, it did not take long for the District of Columbia Circuit to recognize that Donald Trump had no authority to ban a social media platform, whether he labeled it a threat to national security or a foreign adversary or whatever other super scary linguistics they tried to come up with. This is basic First Amendment stuff. However, even the simplest of things can get confused here in these hyper-partisan times. I think it was very easy in 2020 for a District of Columbia circuit to strike down anything that Donald Trump did. So while I have the opinion in front of me, case 120CV02658, if you're into that, that's DCC, CV02658, TikTok Incorporated versus Donald J. Trump, and that was adjudicated fairly quickly by the circuit, and they were very direct in their opinion that you got no such rights. And right there in section one of the opinion, background directly to the Berman Amendment, this is the protection. You can't do this. Does it give me any confidence that the same DC circuit would rule the same way now that it's Biden and this bipartisan group of all of the swamp rats of Washington trying to kill the TikTok platform? I think it would be pretty naive to assume they'll find the same way, but we shall see. Don't want to be too big of a cynic here. We're having a lovely episode. Nobody needs a Debbie Downer. And that's cool, because I think it's a virtual certainty that we're going to see a challenge to this law because it's so in direct conflict with the Berman Amendment and the protections that we're afforded right there in the First Amendment. I guess I should close the show with a final piece of social commentary. It is really revealing when you kind of scroll around social media to see who's out supporting this rather flagrant violation of my First Amendment rights, as opposed to those who are standing up for the Constitution. Nobody's really required to respect the Constitution. It happens to be the most free and ethical form of governance that's ever occurred on the planet at scale, but to each their own. And while I've never been on TikTok, I'm not a user, I find it difficult to get my head around folks who will only support the free speech that they enjoy, and how quickly they will move to eliminate the First Amendment for anything that they find distasteful. It's really an incredible display of what I consider to be character, ethics, integrity, but as always, my definition of integrity may not be the same as somebody else's, so maybe I should just leave it right there.
criminals and hoods. Some of my friends sell records. Some of my friends.